Dubai Eye
103.8.
He said, she said, why don't you?
Call The Agenda on 04 871 5500 and join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Joining the conversation now is content writer, freelance journalist Zainab Mansour, who is our paper reviewer here this afternoon. Zainab, lovely to see you.
Likewise.
Thanks very much indeed for battling the elements to join us here today. What's it? I mean, we're sort of secluded away in this box up here and well lit, etc. What's it like out there on the battlefront out there?
Having lived here for 14 years, this is a dream come true. Having to walk while it's drizzling, the weather's amazing. I wish it was like this the entire year round.
Okay, on the roads though? Everything all right on the roads?
Everything good.
Okay, so people are showing tolerance. They're being patient.
Am I being an objective, a very selective viewer right now? Yes, I am, in lieu of the amazing weather.
Great weather out there at the moment. If you'd like to share your thoughts on the weather, then feel free to do so. Two competitions running and time for the paper review. Let's obviously look at... We've talked about the weather. We've also talked about the other big story of the week is... The celebration of all things tolerance. And I know this will be a theme that continues, not just through the remainder of this week, but hopefully throughout the entirety of the year as well. The Pope's visit, I mean, it is groundbreaking in many ways for the region, but I have to admit, I've been taken a little by surprise by just how much media and chat there is around the visit at the moment.
Not really. I actually view it very positively. And yeah. I think the way the leadership has actually come forth and welcomed it speaks volumes of the kind of diversity that UAE has always spoken of and now is actually showing when it comes down to it. Mm. I was going through the LinkedIn update of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed, and his words augured a lot of positivity. And he also quoted the Year of Tolerance welcoming a religious body, a leader who's leading 1.2 billion Roman Catholics around the world, augurs well for what the UAE has always stood for.
Mm. Tolerance will be the buzzword in the days, the weeks, and of course the months to come. One of the other big subjects is one of the stories that you have that's caught your eye and you've picked up on. This new online database, details now being released about how people can register as organ donors using their Emirates ID. This was revealed last week. Why is this significant, do you think, Zainab?
Just take a wild guess of how many people are actually undergoing dialysis as we speak right now. An estimated figure.
A couple of 5,000.
Okay, well, slightly more than 1,000, but still that's a big figure, right? So that augurs hope for people who are actually going through it. And they've linked it to the IDs, so anybody can be a welcome volunteer. They can sign up. They will be given... excuse me, some legal documents on how and what to expect. And should they be an accident or should there be a need for an organ transplant, the system should link the most appropriate organ donors right to the scene of requirement.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously it's using technology and smart technology as an accelerator here. But to that end as well, just the very concept of organ donation, which has been a difficult subject to broach in years gone past, seems to have moved very quickly forward as being more accepted here in the region than it has done in the past.
Well, yes, to answer your first bit, technology has played a big part and has acted as a catalyst. The application itself is Hayat application, which was launched in Arab Health this year.
Yeah.
And the ministry has backed it. And obviously, the patient information will be concealed and protected by blockchain technology, similar to like Bitcoin. So that's good. How technology is aiding this is that donor information will be transferred from the Emirates ID, protected, and then the organ donor will remain anonymous in all situations. Mm. Now, coming back to the other part, yes, organ donation has come a long way. It was seen quite skeptically by some, quite dubious by others. But having the right to decide what I wish to do with my organs once I'm gone, and if I wish to live through them or I wish to do good once I'm not around, is, I think, a very subjective and a very personal decision and should be kept like that.
Mm. Your thoughts would be appreciated on this. It's the Hayat app, as you quite rightly said there, has been launched recently. Arab Health, which was in town last week, generating a huge amount of interest and generating a huge amount of media, also suggesting, again, it's one of those growth areas. And I know that we talk a lot about stagnation, we talk about a lot of pressure in a number of industries, but it seems to be that healthcare is one of those industries that can ride the storm when things are a little rough.
I hope so. I pray so.
It is one of those industries that is obviously continuing to provide for many. Just and the only reason I say that, A, because of looking at the numbers coming out of Arab Health, but B, looking at the numbers of hospitals and clinics that are being opened up at the moment, the facilities and the infrastructure for healthcare here are second to none.
What I like is the way they're promoting UAE, Dubai and UAE, predominantly Dubai, as a hub for medical tourism.
Yeah.
And the way Healthcare City has been structured, it speaks for the way they're promoting themselves, not only for the residents of the country, but also they're welcoming people, giving them state-of-the-art services. And I believe the cost would also match up to what should be expected as reasonable. So I love the way the promotion and the marketing of the country has been whilst in other parts of tourism. This sector and this genre has also been given a lot of light.
It's The Agenda, your mid-morning phone-in, and the lines are now live.
Join the conversation on 04-871-5500.
Organ donation was the first of our stories here on the news review this morning. It's got a lot of people asking questions and commenting as well. Let's go to the question first. How do you register for organ donation? Any ideas, Ina Zellermeyer?
Yes, you download the Hayat app, as mentioned earlier, and Zainab has actually got the details. Apparently, it's very easy.
I downloaded the app myself, and it actually allows you to register as a donor. So from what it seems like, it's pretty easy. And just to add on, for our viewers, there are four medical facilities in the UAE which are licensed for organ transplants. That would be the Sheikh Khalifa Medical City, Media City, the Cleveland Clinic in Abu Dhabi, the MediClinic City Hospital in Dubai, and Al Jaliha's Children's Speciality Hospital. So four medical facilities across the UAE are registered, licensed for organ transplants. And download the app. It's pretty simple.
Some interesting thoughts coming through as well. This one from one of our listeners: organ donation, very accepted practice in Sri Lanka at the moment. Large percentage of people start with just donating their eyes. I think the UAE should also start with a simpler, less controversial something such as eye donation. Also, religious direction from leaders can help a lot to clarify what's allowed and what's not. And in this year of tolerance and a week of celebration of all things tolerance, maybe that's a conversation that will be had over the course of the next few days. Let's get on to other stories as well. Should children be allowed into fine dining restaurants? Ina?
So subjective and so close to my heart. I'm not too sure. I think the answer's pretty dependent on which side of the fence you find yourself. If you find yourself where we stand, i.e. with kids, I would say yes. But people might have different views. Generally, I feel that if you have a housekeeping policy of not allowing kids, wouldn't that act as a deterrent itself? Because you've got a huge population of expats, majority having children. Would it really make a lot of sense to hire an outsourced help just for a fine dining experience? And if that does make help, would you do it once a month? Would you do it once in 6 months? So that's something for these restaurants to think about. Does it actually behave as a deterrent in trying to give them the so amazing, perfect experience? Doesn't make sense to me as a parent, but then I'm quite subjective in this case.
But this comes off the back of a piece that has been published in the Khalij Times, an opinion piece by one of the food bloggers, Courtney Brandt, who's been quoted as saying, plain and simple, I don't think every establishment is one where children should be allowed. I believe certain spaces, i.e. fine dining restaurants included, should be for adults only, which opens up something of a can of worms. There are those that feel that public environments or spots such as this where you are paying good money. It's up to you whether you're going to bring your family or not. There are others that maybe would look at this as an anniversary opportunity and therefore don't want their privacy to be broken up anyway. And I wonder whether... I mean, it's a difficult one here. You mentioned the word subjective, and it is a difficult one here because there is a much later dining culture here. I wonder whether if there was more of an onus that if you are going to bring children into any restaurant, specifically fine dining ones, it needs to be earlier rather than later. If there was some sort of time frame on it, would that be part of the equation?
But before I answer that, Tom, whatever happened to the concept of alcoves? I mean, we could have that, or restaurants could actually foment that to give that also perfect experience. But if I want to celebrate my anniversary dinner with my kids, does that mean that I'm not allowed to in a particular restaurant of choice? Mm. And yes, having said that, there was another view to the entire concept was that most restaurants give the same menu for lunch and dinner. So you could perhaps think of having kids or letting kids come at lunch timings and then bar them perhaps at dinner timings. But I would still feel that in an environment like today where the customer has many options to choose from, it would act as a deterrent for many consumers thinking that they don't have the liberty to decide for themselves and the decisions making is being made by somebody else on their behalf. That might not go too well for many.
Mm. Share your thoughts with us on this one. Do you think that children should be allowed into fine dining restaurants? There's the whole. Where are you with this one, Z? Are you happy with fine dining? I mean, the other problem I suppose I have, but this, I'm sure this has got something to do with my fussy children more than anything, is if you go into a fine dining restaurant, invariably there is the sort of acceptance that you're going to be paying over the odds for the fine dining experience. To that end... And children are not often catered for as well. There's not so much, you know, you wouldn't find a children's menu or the equivalent of. So therefore, is it worth, and I don't want to sort of put a fiscal point on the worth of spending time with one's children, but is it worth taking them to a dining establishment where they're not going to enjoy the experience?
Yeah, they won't appreciate, you know, the intricate dishes on the menu, and they won't appreciate the ambience. And I'm sort of with Courtney on this one. Because as you pointed out earlier, what if I wanted to just leave the kids at home and go on a date with my husband? And then I see other kids in the restaurant. That's not going to be a good date for us.
Yeah, but at the same time, is that... Again, that goes back to the point, doesn't it, of that's people's rights. And given that so many people are here on holidays as well, obviously we live in a city where there are so many different nationalities, so many different cultures. There are those cultures that don't see a problem with children staying up later and coming out with their families to restaurants to dine late. There are those that like to see their children in bed by 6 o'clock each evening or whatever. But equally, with a lot of people coming here on holiday, is that not part of something that is part of a holiday, which is going out to some of the swankier parts of town to be able to dine as a family?
You've got a point there. And in fact, we've got a text saying tourists visit with the kids. They want to see these great restaurants. And another great point is from another texter who said no under 18 in fine dining. That is why you have casual dining places. Fine dining could open and are normally open for lunch with kids. From Tian.
4001, if you want to have your say on that one. This one from Abu has been in touch as well, saying restaurants can control that with having small tables in sections and big ones in another. So that's something you're suggesting, this whole idea
of alcoves,
sectioning off.
Yes, absolutely. And then tourism, Dubai has marketed itself as a touristic hub. So that goes a long way in actually cutting out the entire... So you're actually telling all tourists that certain areas of the city, certain culinary options are just not available because you chose to travel with your kids. And that wasn't really a very wise decision after all, because certain aspects are just closed off for you. Having said that, even for residents... there are people who have domestic help. What about the ones who don't? Mm-hmm. And then how frequent a choice is fine dining left for them if they were to actually go out and outsource babysitting for one particular night? And that would happen perhaps once a year, really pushing it twice. So do the restaurants lose out giving that option or taking that decision. The idea, what I'm trying to get at, is it's the consumer's, or should be rather, the consumer's choice at the end of the day,
yeah,
to bring in the kids or to leave them back.
Lots of thoughts coming through on that one. Let's get another of these stories into the mix as well. And this is one that caught your eyes, and I have this whole idea of this, the Burj Jumeirah. Now, I don't know enough about the Burj Jumeirah, so tell me more.
Do you know enough about Burj Khalifa?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not matching in height, okay, trust me for sure, because this is 525 metres. Now, how tall is Burj Khalifa? I think it's over 820 metres.
Yeah, it's, yeah,
828 metres.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that got my fancy was His Highness Sheikh Mohammed's fingerprint are forming the basis of this amazing tower. So how does that augur well for a futuristic Dubai?
So he's literally leaving his print, his mark on the architecture of this building.
Rhetorically on the entire city and literally on the basis of this building, yes.
Amazing. So whereabouts is this going to be? Have you been able to work out the sort of where it's actually going to stand?
Well, it seems to be near the wider downtown Jumeirah project.
Okay. Yeah.
It's I love the name. It's actually coining two of the best things that Dubai's ever happened. So it's Jumeirah and Burj. So I was just wondering on my way here, whatever led to that name. I was having a look at the picture. It's pretty slick. It's oval shaped in the front, sleek and cut in two halves. Is being developed by Dubai Holding, which developed the all famous, not the infamous, the all famous Burj Al Arab Hotel.
So Burj Jumeirah will be developed by Dubai Holding, which also created the Burj, as you mentioned there, and will be a modern part of the skyline of the UAE. Zina Zalameh, do we know when this will be completed, this project? Or is it, obviously, these are just plans that have just been announced in recent weeks.
It'll be completed in phases. So the first phase of the project is due in 2023, and it's expected to become a must-see tourist attraction located opposite Sheikh Zayed Road in Al Sufo within our area.
So another thing to keep an eye on our ever-expanding skyline. More court thoughts coming in. Zines, what are people saying?
Well, people are saying that kids should be allowed if the parents look after them and they don't run around, etc. From my experience as someone without kids, is that a lot of parents treat restaurants as playgrounds and for someone else to look after their kids.
Another one that's just come through, kids should be allowed, otherwise how are they going to learn about the behaviour required? We take our six-year-old many times and ask for a smaller portion for them. They get to experience new foods. I'm sure a lot of this comes down to behaviour, doesn't it? Because if you've got kids screaming around a restaurant later in the evening, if people are in a fine dining establishment, maybe that's not part of the fine dining experience that you've come to experience.
That is something that I would agree, yes. I would draw the line there that parents need to understand that you're not the only one hogging the restaurant at that point in time. There are other people who are for a much special purpose there. Mm. So, yes, it's about respecting the environment, respecting the audience, and behavioral attitudes should be controlled everywhere, not just restricted to fine dining, I believe. I wouldn't appreciate kids running around on food courts as well.
Zainab, thank you very much indeed to you, content writer, freelance journalist here in the UAE. If people want to get in touch with you, best way to do that?
Twitter and LinkedIn.
Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Pleasure's all mine.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.